We talked last week about that great sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost Sunday, how he introduced those people to the concept of Christianity. But one of the things that they realized as they listened to that sermon was, we need to come to God. We have been in rebellion. That's what Peter said. We have been in rebellion. We need to return to God. And so they said to Peter and the other apostles on that occasion, what will we do, brothers? What shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that statement that Peter made for just a minute. He told them to do two things, to repent and to be baptized. And then he said that it was for, I'm hearing an echo, is that, what can I do to correct that echo?
Done.
Thank you. Yeah, I get a little bit of an echo anyway, and that echo was just a fade out. My hearing aid was going bonkers with that echo. So the first thing that he said was repent and be baptized. And he said, this is for you and for your children and everyone in the world. So we're going to talk about the three parts of Peter's response to their agonized questions. Repent. Next week we'll talk about be baptized. And then finally, we'll talk about how that's a universal concept that applies to all people everywhere. Even though Peter was only talking to Jews at the time who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast day. He said, repent. What does that mean? Well, we have an idea of what it meant that has arisen in our culture, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But what did those people think that that word meant when they heard it? When Peter said, repent, what did they think about? Well, this wasn't a word that they were unfamiliar with. Some of them had probably heard John the Baptist preaching. I don't know that all of them had, but at least some of them that were in Jerusalem had heard John the Baptist preaching. And so they would, of course, associate this idea of repentance with the things that they knew that John the Baptist had said. In Acts, the 13th chapter, and at verse 24, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle, talks about this, and it's really in the context of what Paul was preaching. Acts 13, at verse 24, it says, before his coming, that's talking about Jesus, before Jesus coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. They were familiar with this idea. The 19th chapter of Acts, and at verse 4, you find the Apostle Paul encountering some people who had heard what John had said. They knew about repentance. They knew something about baptism, but it was lacking. And so the apostle had to correct their misunderstanding and then take steps to help them to complete these two things that Peter has talked about on Pentecost. So we'll talk about Acts 19 more when we talk about the idea of baptism. But what did John say when he talked about repentance? You know, it's, there are not very many things that are mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Interestingly, John's preaching is mentioned in every gospel account. We're going to read Matthew 3, beginning at verse 1, to see what John was saying. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John wore a garment of camel hair, had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. He saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able of these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Repentance is something that's going to produce fruit. In Mark, the first chapter, beginning at verse 2, he spends a little bit more time analyzing what that fruit might look like. Mark 2, beginning at verse 1. Excuse me, Mark 1, beginning at verse 2. I can get that right. Give me a little bit of time. "As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way.'" This is Isaiah talking about the promise that God had made to Jesus. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All the country of Judea and all Jerusalem was going out to him. They were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. They were confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and around his waist, he wore a leather belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he prophesied, saying, 'After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptized you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" So he was preaching about this idea of repentance. Luke, the third chapter, this is what Luke records. Again, we're still just trying to understand what those in Jerusalem would have understood who had heard what John was talking about when he talked about repentance. Luke, the third chapter. Let's begin at about verse 10. We'll skip over some of the introductory material that describes John. The crowds asked him when he talked about repentance, "What then shall we do?" He answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food to do likewise is to do likewise." Tax collectors came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than you're authorized to do." Now that wasn't the typical approach that tax collectors made to collecting taxes. they collected the taxes that the Romans required them to collect, and then they also added a little bit. And that's the way that they made their money. They added to the taxes. He says, collect no more than you're authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, what shall we do? He said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. Be content with your wages. And again, that wasn't the way that soldiers typically interacted with the community where they were billeted. They would go out and they would threaten people and they would take whatever they wanted. So John is saying to these people, repentance means that you will change your life. You will now do what's right. They hadn't been doing that. Matthew, the 9th chapter, and beginning at verse 12, you find this written about John. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 12. When they heard it, John said, Jesus, describing John, said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So when those people heard the idea of repentance, well, they knew what it meant when John preached it. And I'm convinced it means the same thing when Peter talks about it. Not only had John preached about repentance, Jesus himself preached about repentance. He doesn't preach about repentance in the same way that John does. John stressed the idea that repentance means that you're going to bear fruit. Jesus preached about repentance, and he stressed the idea that this is going to be a necessary part of you coming into the kingdom that God is establishing. Matthew, the fourth chapter, and at verse 17, the record says this about Jesus. This is shortly after he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And it says that from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what's going to help you find your way into the kingdom of heaven. In the 13th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 3, Jesus said, he's talking about, well, let's begin at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 5. He said, there were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate was particularly angry with the Jews. Pilate hated Jews. He didn't want to be in charge of Judea, but the Romans put him there, and he was particularly brutal. Jesus answered them after they were told about Pilate killing a bunch of Galileans. He said, do you think that those Galileans were sinners more than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? You think that was the problem? He says, I tell you, unless you repent, you would all likewise perish. And then he reminded them of another situation. He says, what about the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? And that wasn't necessarily the brutality of Pilate, but this was This was a natural occurrence. A tower fell, killed 18 people. He says, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others who lived in Jerusalem? He said, no. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke, the 15th chapter. And at verse 10 here, Jesus speaks, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus talked about repentance. John talked about repentance. The Jews understood what he was talking about. Now that was in some ways different from the way that that word was used in secular conversation. And our understanding of repentance is sometimes colored by secular conversation. Generally, secular discourse, when it was focused on the idea of repentance, was talking about penance. Notice the difference. Repentance and penance. The Latin version uses this phrase to translate the idea of penance, and they say that it is extreme penitence, or that they were to exercise penitence. But penitence, etymologically, or that's a study of words, penitence signifies pain or grief or distress rather than a change of thought and purpose. Secularists talked about penance as something that you did to afflict yourself, not necessarily to change, but something that made you sorry for what you had done. The English word repent comes from the Latin word, and it inherits the fault of the Latin. When we use the idea of penance, we're basically talking about the same thing that the Latin talked about, making grief the principal idea, keeping in the background, if not altogether out of sight, the fundamental New Testament conception of a change of mind with reference to sin. We're not talking about being sorry. We're talking about change. First, we change our mind, then we change our behavior. So what lessons can I draw from all of this? What's it mean to me? Well, it's a commandment. That's pretty straightforward. I have to change my behavior. Not just be sorry for my behavior, I have to change my behavior. It demands, first, turning my heart to God and away from the path that I was on that leads only to death. So the first thing about repentance is turning your heart to God. It includes being sorry for my behavior. Yes, when those people were convicted that they had put the Son of God to death, they were sorry. Just like we ought to be sorry. But that's not where it ends. It includes a change in behavior. So not only am I sorry that I made such a mess out of things, but I resolved to turn to God and change what I was doing. That's what those people heard when Peter said, repent. And you know, I guess the most important thing that I concluded as I was preparing all of this is that I'm really glad God gave me the opportunity to do this. I deserve death. I have earned a lot of things. But heaven wasn't one of them. I had earned death. God could have created judgment for me immediately, and I would have been condemned. We read about some people that were like that in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and immediately they were struck down dead. They earned that. That wasn't an unrighteous God. They earned it. Just like I earned it. But God, in most cases, is extremely patient. He wants you to come to repentance. He wants you to come to this change that we're talking about. Don't mistake that for God not judging. He will judge. He will call you into account for the things that you've done, just like he'll call me into account. But thank God he's been very patient. And I know he's been very patient. If you look at your life and you say, I've been on the wrong path. I was just like those Jews. I didn't nail Jesus to a cross, but I did essentially the same thing. I rebelled against God's plan for my life, and I followed a different plan. And you want to respond. The only thing we can say to you is the same thing that Peter said. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins.